Hello. You're listening to Academic Writing Podcast,
brought to you by the Higher School of Economics. Today we're going to be talking about some common academic vocabulary.
First, we'll talk about 10 phrases which are very common for academic speech.
Oh, do you think we should introduce ourselves first?
Yeah, absolutely. My name is Jaina.
And my name is Imani. So the first word is to be derived from. This means to come or develop from something.
You can say the word politics is derived from a Greek word meaning city. Again, to be derived from.
The second word is to be related to, and this means to be connected to something.
An example. Usually Freud's studies are related to the field of psychology.
Just to review, that is to be related to.
And here's the third word, which is to obscure. To obscure means to make it difficult to see, hear, or understand something.
So, as an example, we could say, we mustn't let minor details obscure the main issue.
Or you can say, to obscure dramatic differences.
And again, that's to obscure. The fourth is an increase, and this means a rising amount, number, or value of something.
You can say an increase in sales.
And so its opposite would be decrease.
You need to keep the difference between an increase and to increase. The stress is real different, right?
Exactly. The first is the noun form of it, and the second is the verb. So you would say there was an increase in births.
Or you can say the birth rate increased dramatically. Number five, to contribute to.
This means to be one of the causes of something.
You can say financial crisis has contributed to the growth of unemployment rate.
You can also make it into a noun by saying the contributor or the contribution.
Or even to an adjective. You can say human error may have been a contributing factor. Contributing factor is a good word to use in academic speech. Number six is to be associated with.
This means to relate to or connect to.
And you can say most people immediately associate addictions with drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes.
Or you could say emerging markets are closely associated in the public mind with Russia, Brazil, and China.
One more time. To be associated with.
The seventh word is to imply. It means to suggest that something is true without saying so directly.
It was implied that the sampling will be random. There is a difference between the verbs to infer and to imply.
Yes, they're actually opposites. The two words can describe the same event, but from different points of view. If a speaker implies something, they are suggesting it without saying so directly. So you can say, the article implied that the pilot was responsible for the accident. If you infer something from what a speaker says, you're coming to that conclusion. You could say, I inferred from the article that the pilot was responsible for the accident.
So if I infer, does it mean I'm smart enough to understand it and read it from the context?
That's right.
Okay. In your writing, you can use the phrase, these data imply that.
That's a good one to use.
Number eight, in the context of.
This means a situation in which something happens that helps you to understand it.
For example, you could write, such databases are being used in a wide range of contexts.
Or you could write, this theory needs to be explored in the context of the mid-18th century.
An adjective for this word would be contextual. You can say contextual information, contextual clues to the meaning. Number nine, result in.
This means to make something happen. So you could say the cyclone resulted in thousands of deaths, or a small error resulted in a significant change.
One more time, to result in.
Number 10, to lead to.
This means to have something as a result.
For example, a small disagreement in research methods might lead to major errors in the results.
You can use the same phrase in everyday speech. If you say that somebody keeps leading you by the nose, that means this person, he or she, makes you do anything he or she wants. He or she controls you completely. To lead somebody by the nose. And now you'll hear the example of all these words used in context.
Using data derived from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, the chart demonstrates the relationship between educational attainment and employment prospects. In 2010, the unemployment rate in the U.S. was 8.2%, and American employees' median weekly wage was $782, but these averages obscure differences related to educational attainment. Each incremental increase in educational attainment contributes to a significant increase in weekly wages and a significant decrease in unemployment rate. For example, the difference between the unemployment rate of Americans who did not finish high school and those with a doctoral degree is 13 percentage points. In the same way, completing a professional degree is associated with an increase of $1,166 per week over those who did not finish high school. These findings suggest that improving the quality and quantity of education plays an important role in improving employability, the likelihood of earning a living wage, and ultimately quality of life. In the context of current policy debates, these data imply that low educational attainment, not solely the lack of available jobs, leads to high unemployment and low wages. Thus, educational attainment may result in socioeconomic status throughout an individual's lifespan.
Now you will hear the same 10 phrases one more time, one by one.
To be derived from.
To be related to.
To obscure.
An increase in.
To contribute to.
To be associated with.
To imply.
In the context of.
To result in.
To lead to.
Thanks for listening to the Academic Writing Podcast.
Brought to you by the High School of Economics. My name is Jaina.
And my name is Imani.
Hope to see you soon.
Bye.
Oh, Chechanya. My sweet Chechanya. Honey, California. Really want you. Look ahead, Tony. Where's Caledonia? My, Tony. Be mine.
You've been listening. You were listening for both.
You could say you were, or you.
You are still listening.
Present time. Yeah, we're right? Still listening.